Well, good afternoon, everybody. We've already opened with a word of prayer. Is there anybody else that has anything that we need to pray for? Anyone else that you know of that's in need of prayer today?
We all need to.
Yeah, we do. We do. All right, what I want you to do is I want you to open up your handouts. And Helen has agreed to share a couple of things with us. But we're going to talk about the law. Under the law, how many commandments did Moses bring down from Mount Sinai?
10.
Yet, by the time Jesus Christ was walking on the earth, that had grown to over 2,000 rules and regulations. Well, where'd the rest of them come from?
People.
In part. For example, what you ate. It's talked about in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. There were certain foods that they were not to eat. One of the main things that they were not to eat was swine or pigs because of what they ate and parasites and all of that. So anybody that ate those would get sick many, many times. And so God said, no swine, no pigs. What's something else that they did because that they had to do because of the times that they were in? One thing is that how many times is it talked about people drinking water? The most common drink was wine. You know why? Why?
Because water was good.
Right. Too many parasites, too many bugs living in the water. But if you ferment it, then you have the alcohol to kill off the majority of the parasites. So therefore, wine was a better drink, health-wise, than water was, because pure water was scarce. It wasn't like today where you can get a bottle or have them delivered to your home or whatever. There you took whatever was available, and it may have been a muddy pond or a pool where you would go get your water from. But if you turned it into wine by adding grapes to it and allowing it to ferment, then over time, the fermenting would kill the bugs in that juice or in the water. So you could drink it with no harm to yourself. All right, let me grab my handout. We're going to go through this. Now, what I have on what I found was a clip art. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ standing in front of the Ten Commandments, and he's pointing back to them. We know that Jesus Christ came many, 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 many years after the Ten Commandments, probably well over 1,000 years afterwards, after Moses came down. So they probably weren't in the same area like that. But the point is, I wanted you to understand that God brought down, or God sent down, 10 laws with Moses. Now, how many laws did Adam and Eve have? One. One. Don't eat the fruit. So one changed to 10. And then again, by the time Jesus Christ came, it had grown to over 2,000. And these were not necessarily laws. There were some things for health reasons that people couldn't do. And so God told them not to. You know, like don't eat pork. You shouldn't drink water that's impure, because those would keep you healthy. But what happened was there were a lot of religious folks in that community. They were called scribes and Pharisees, who took the purest of the laws and tried to add to them. Helen, give us an example of what you grew up with.
I had a Methodist, I was a Methodist, still am. I had a Methodist grandmother, my paternal grandmother. I don't know where she got her religion, but she was a Methodist like you've probably never seen. And Sunday at her house was miserable for children, absolutely miserable. We would go down on Saturday, and it was a pretty reasonable day. And then we would go to bed. But you're not allowed to make your bed when you get up in the morning.
because it was the Sabbath day. The
it's
next
the Sabbath.
Day.
You don't work on the Sabbath.
Yes.
Before midnight, she would go and put a lot of food that doesn't spoil on the dining room table, covered with a dish towel. And that was all the food there'd be for Sunday. You weren't supposed to sit down to eat, and she really would rather you didn't eat. But if you had to eat, you could go reach under there and get whatever was under there. And she had so many things that were just awful. We'd go to Sunday school, and we got a Sunday school paper. We could read it till they put two jokes in it. Then it had to be put away until Monday. We couldn't roller skate. We couldn't do anything like that. But the one I was telling you about was making your bed. My mother insisted we had our bed made the minute we got up. Can't make your bed at Grandma's house, so that's work. So I'd lay there in the bed, wiggle and wiggle and straighten the clothes, the blankets over me. Oh, they'd get so nice and smooth, and then I could slide out. And those are the kind of things we did to try to have something to do on Sunday, because otherwise you sat on the swing on the porch and watched the children run their skates down the sidewalk, the roller skates, ride the bikes. We couldn't do any of that. And I could go on and on and on of how awful it was at her house. And my father had been brought up that way. And it was not too hard for my mother to change him.
Well, stop to think about that. I'm sure you guys have stories of your own, but would you want to join that church? And do you think God wanted it that way? No. God is love. The first story we have, well, did anybody else have any examples like that? Yes.
We could embroider on Sunday, but we couldn't sew.
You could, I'm sorry, say that again?
We could embroider.
Okay, you could embroider.
Not sew.
Okay. Okay, but you could embroider, but you couldn't sew.
No.
All right, I won't try to figure that one out. Anybody else have any examples? Okay, first and foremost, what's the Sabbath day?
Day of rest.
Huh?
It's a holy day.
Okay, what day is it of the week?
In those days,
it was Saturday. You stopped working at sunset Friday night.
Yeah.
And you couldn't start again until sunset Saturday evening. During that time, you were limited to what you could walk, the distance you could walk. You could only walk a Sabbath day's journey, which was less than a mile. And these are folks that got around by walking. Another thing is, as Helen pointed out so well, is that you were not to fix or cook on Sunday, on the Sabbath day. Oh, and it was actually Saturday. But you were not to do any cooking because that was works. That was considered works. Where did that come from, though? What is there about cooking that does not give honor to God as long as you bless it before you eat it? And that was Jesus Christ's message. Simply bless it before you eat it. Okay, but we're going to go into Galatians. Okay, take a look at the front of this. In red, it says, "Wherefore the law," and this is from Galatians chapter 3, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified," in other words, just as if I'd never sinned, by what? By faith. That word faith is the word pistis. It means believing. Another way of translating is by believing. It was our believing that sanctified us, that set us apart. And it wasn't the law, because Jesus Christ came to bring an end to the law administration. Now go to the inside. the top left, because we're continuing with Galatians chapter 3, and this is verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. What was called the schoolmaster? The law. The law. The law. We're no longer under the law. After Jesus Christ came, that fulfilled, he fulfilled the law. One of the ways he fulfilled the law is that during the Old Testament times, and when I say Old Testament, I'm talking about up until the book of Acts. But up until that time, you had to kill a lamb for your, or else the high priest would slaughter a lamb, and the blood sacrifice was made for forgiveness of sins for everybody in the group, everybody there. That was the blood offering that was offered to cover your sins for the entire year. Well, do you remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world"? Jesus Christ was the last and final sacrificial lamb offered for our sins. That's why we don't have to go out and kill a lamb every year and offer his blood for our atonement. That's already been paid. It's already fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 14, verse 5. And Jesus answered, spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Jesus Christ had a man come to him who needed to be healed. And the lawyers and the Pharisees were going, he can't heal. It's the Sabbath day. He can't do that. So they were watching to see how he was going to deal with it. Well, first and foremost, he knew their thoughts. So what he said was, is it law? You know, he spake unto the lawyers saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, the man that needed to be healed, and healed him and let him go. And then he asked the group, verse 5, and answered saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and shall straightway not pull him out, even though it is the Sabbath day? Go a step further. If one of your kids fell down a well, and that kid is down there crying and yelling and probably broke something, are you going to wait until the next day to get that kid out of there? No. But see, this is another example of where they've gone overboard with the laws that God put out there. They had taken the laws of God and added to them the scribes and the Pharisees, and they had built it, 10 laws up to 2,000. And this was added on. Now, Jesus Christ, who always did God's will, and who never committed sin, is healing a man on the Sabbath day, and they're telling him he's wrong for doing that. Stop and think about that. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't at all. And then I have a picture. It's one of my favorite pictures. We have it on the poster out there. Jesus Christ's last words as he's hanging on the cross or on the tree, whatever you want to call it, is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I was at a Bible study earlier this week, and they were saying, you know, you're good as long as you ask God for forgiveness, but man, you go to sleep with one sin on your heart that you haven't asked for forgiveness for, and boy, during the night, if there's a tornado and you get wiped out, you're going straight to hell. You're burning hell. And I said, are you kidding? They were very serious. They were very serious. They were very, very law-bound. Very, very. Jesus Christ, out of love, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These were sins that they had committed, and they thought they were right. But yet Jesus Christ forgave them, even for their error, in their error, for sins that they had committed. God loves us, and we have to remember that. We serve a loving God, and don't let anybody tell you that. Oh, third grade, my teacher had taught in the Navajo Indian tribe, and she said, you know, we're like, we're dangling from a spider web, and you're dangling over the pits of hell, and every once in a while, just for heck of it, God flicks his wrist, and people fall in. That scared the bejeebus out of me. How can this be? How can this be? I don't want to serve a God who's like that. But that's not the God. She hadn't learned about how much God loved. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whether or not you're purple, pink, blue, sinners, righteous, God sent his own Son to be full payment for our sins. That's how loving our God is. Okay, Ephesians 2:12, underneath the picture. At that time, we were without Christ, talking about during the law administration, during the period of thousands of years before Jesus Christ came, being aliens. You know what an alien is? You know, we hear about aliens from Mars and weird-looking people, but we were like aliens to God. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That's where we were. But don't let anybody tell you that's where you are today. Not if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you become born again. You are a child of God. These folks that I was meeting with on Tuesday night still felt like that's where they were. Verse 13, next page over. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who were sometimes far off are made nigh. We're brought right up front of the church. We're brought right up in front of Jesus Christ by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember I told you that Jesus Christ was the last and final sacrificial lamb? That his blood was to cover all of our sins? That's why we are no longer strangers. But now we have the front row seat whenever we go before God. Chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. This is Romans. No condemnation now hangs over the heads of those who are in Christ. Helen was telling me that to this day she feels bad, and I hope I'm not telling too many of your stories, but to this day she feels bad about what she told her grandmother. There's a story about playing a game, and she taught her how to play with using three people when it required four to play the game. And boy, when she realized that she was doing something wrong, then she was sinning, and she was hell-bound, and she went to her grave believing that. And now Helen to this day feels bad about that because she directed her in another way to go. The thing is, though, the woman was under the law. We're no longer under law. Jesus Christ hung on the tree to set us free from all of that. Anytime we start trying to get righteous on our own, we basically say, Jesus Christ, I know you paid for my sins, but I'm going to pay for them again. We can't do that. We should not do that. Okay, for the new spiritual principles of life in Christ lifts me out of the old vicious circle of sin and death. We have been lifted out of that, and that's from the Phillips Bible. We have been lifted out of the sin. We have been lifted out of the condemnation. All of the things that came under these laws. Verses 3 and 4. The law never succeeded in introducing righteousness. The failure was always the weakness of human nature. I don't care how hard you try, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect. And if you run into somebody that says that they are perfect, they're a liar. They're a liar. But God has met this by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to live in the human nature, to live in that human nature which caused the trouble. And while Christ was actually being, was actually taken upon himself the sins of men, Jesus Christ bore our sins. God condemns that sinful nature, but you know what? He doesn't condemn us. He loves us. So that we are able to meet the law requirements so long as we are living no longer by the dictates of our sinful nature, but in obedience to promptings of the Holy Spirit. And again, that's from the NIV, the New International Version. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in trespasses and sins, talking about the time when we were under the law, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, of the rulers of the kingdom of darkness of the air, the spirit who now worketh in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, glorifying and craving of the flesh and following the desires of thoughts and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of the great love for us, because of his great love for us, God, which is rich in mercy, has made us alive with Christ. We're no longer under the law. We don't have to live under the law. Even when we were dead in trespasses, it is by grace that you have been saved. Our ministry is called By Grace Christian Ministries. You know why we picked that name? Because there's no way on earth we're going to work enough to be righteous. It's by God's mercy and grace that allows me to stand here and teach God's word. It's not that I'm so learned and whatever, but it's God's mercy and grace that allows me to do what I do. And it's the same thing with you, when and where you believe it. We do what we do because of God's mercy and his grace, not because we've earned it, not because we're so righteous or we walk perfectly, because none of us do. But God's mercy takes care of us. Verse 5 again. Made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses and sin. It is by grace that we have been saved. Don't let anybody tell you that you're not saved. Not if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. The word says, thou shalt be saved. And don't let anybody tell you that you've lost it because you committed a sin or whatever. How can I say that? One of the things that scriptures say is that Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. What does that mean? That means that we're all going to be in a mansion of our own. It means that, and the way I put it so that people understand it, there are some of us that get to heaven. We may be out in the kitchen busting dishes. That may be our assignment, but we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven because the word says we are going to be saved. There are others who have earned crowns of righteousness who are going to be at the top in the mansions. But the point is, we're all going to be in heaven. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're heaven bound and all hell can't stop you. That's what the scriptures say. That's what Jesus Christ gave his life to pay for. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now all the way over to the back, and this is the founding scripture for our ministry. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not works. I don't care how many little old ladies you've helped across the street, you're still not going to be righteous enough to get to heaven by your works. And it is not from yourselves, from anything that you've done. I don't care how righteous you call yourself. It is the gift of God. Well, stop and think about it. Does it? What requirements do you have on a gift to get it?
Take it.
Take it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Take it. Take it. That's all. If you had to earn it, it wouldn't be a gift. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. One of the things I've said over the years is if you could earn your way to heaven, then I would have Elsie back there. I would pay her to do my work so I could sit back and relax. Then I would be righteous because she did all my work for me. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's handiwork. You know what that word handiwork is? And I don't like to use Greek a lot. But in the Greek, it's the word poema. Now, what does that sound like? What does that, what word do you think is derived from the Greek word poema? Poem. Stop and think about a beautiful poem. We are God's masterpiece. Another way to translate that. We are God's masterpiece. Not because we've earned it. Not because we've done anything special. But that's the way God made us. He formed us and called us to be his masterpiece. That's what God did for us out of love. That's what God did. For we are his handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Romans 10, 9 and 10 from the Phillips Bible. Moses writes of the righteousness by the law when he said that a man who does those things shall live by them, talking about the law, which is theoretically right, but impossible to practice. I'm going to pick on Helen's, what was she, your paternal grandmother? Okay, her grandmother wouldn't do anything she thought was wrong. In theory, that sounded good, but you know what? It was wrong. It was wrong. Did it help her as far as her standing in heaven went? No. But just because she thought it was right, she did that. But which is theoretically right, but impossible to practice, because she couldn't keep it. She was trying to work her way to heaven. How do we receive the new birth? This is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
And that saved is talking about from all the trials and tribulations that lie ahead. It's talking about hell. It's talking about the fiery furnace. That's what we are being saved from. And, you know, the simple way out of that is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. Salvation. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. I don't care how righteous you are by your works, you're not going to get to heaven. It is a gift of God. And we, out of love, need to receive that and walk with it. And now that doesn't mean you get to go out and party your neck off or do things that you know that are wrong. But it means that you just do the best that you can and know that Jesus Christ died to cover where we miss it, where we don't come up to standard. I agree. Amen. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you and again for this moment and for just this opportunity to get together, Father, for the needs that are here in this room, Father, for just your perfect peace flowing throughout this entire room, Father. and each and every person within the sound of my voice, that you just heal them, Father, and any of the aches and pains they might have, that, Father, you let them know how much you love them and how much you care for each and every one of us. Father, I command this to be in the name of Jesus Christ, that we know your word and that we rightly divide it and we don't get into condemning ourselves when we miss the mark. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Have a great day.
Oh, yeah, I just had something to say. There's a difference between the law and the Ten Commandments. The law was made by people. The commandments are made by God.
Yeah, you're right.
We can be forgiven.
Right.
We ask to be forgiven.
Right. What came down, what Roberta is saying, is what came down the mountainside with Moses, those were the laws. That was the Ten Commandments. What happened over time is the scribes and the Pharisees added to it. You know, we'll say that the law was you had to come into this room single file. Well, I would say, no, you have to come in 10 feet apart. That's what I would add to it. Well, I'm going above and beyond the law, and that's what happened. That's why we went from 10 to over 2,000.
We're still under the Ten Commandments, the law of God.
Okay. I would disagree with that because Jesus Christ said that the commandment we now have is that we're to love God first and foremost and to love our neighbors ourselves. Now, if we do that, then we're going to do the Ten Commandments. But we're not under the Ten Commandments. So by doing what we're required to do now, and that's by keeping God first and foremost in our hearts and our minds and loving our neighbors ourselves. If I love you, am I going to do anything wrong to you? Am I going to sin against you? Am I going to rip you off the first opportunity I have? It's all covered, and Jesus Christ had it. He knew that. This covers the Ten Commandments. It covers the law. If we do those two commandments that we have today. So we're going back down, kind of like Adam and Eve started with one, and then went to 10. Now we're back at 2. And that covers the multitude. Yes?
I believe in my heart. Live by the Ten Commandments that God gave,
life would
be entirely different.
Yeah.
Sure. We do. We need to
honor. Sure.
The Ten Commandments are worth oral skill.
Well, you know, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, all of those things. If I love you, then I'm not going to do those things.
I can see where
it just helps us be better people. But you're right. If we would follow those, there would be a lot less trouble in the world. We wouldn't need police officers for one. I used to be a cop, so. And I got called into situations where people, somebody blew it with somebody else, and they're beating the stuffings out of them or chasing them with a gun or whatever. And so then they would call in a police officer. And so then I've got to come in and straighten things out. Again, if we would just live under the laws, under what we have, the law of love first and foremost, but basically the Ten Commandments, then there would be no need for even police officers. Another thing you might not know, and I know I'm going over, but if you, children are basically born knowing the difference between right and wrong. And I don't know if it's a God-given inherent whatever, instinct or what, but you're born knowing what's right and wrong. Now, when you go over and above that, it's because you were taught that, or you learned this, or you rationalized your way around it. But we're born with a sense of what's right and wrong. And that's in every, I don't care what your culture is, I don't care who you are, where you were born, you're born with an inherent sense of right and wrong. And that's God-given. All right, I gotta shut up. You had something else you wanted to say? Okay. Well, look, God bless you guys. Thank you for the gift up here, Roberta.
Thank you. It's from metal.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for the gift, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
And if you have anything that you need to talk over one-on-one, There's Wilma back there, Andre's back there, and I'm up here. So don't hesitate to come and talk with us, okay? Well, God bless you guys. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure. Very
he's
welcome.
Good.
Yes, he is. I thought he was
good. Help getting up?
Yeah. I want to say that I had a little visit. I found out what my...